Well, all right. Lord, we thank you so much for once again allowing us to get together like this. We praise you, Father, for another great night of anointed talk, revelations that you've given us. And Lord, we praise you for it. Lord, I thank you for this brand new microphone that you've gotten for me. It's just awesome, Lord. I ask that tonight your anointing flow upon everybody. And I thank you, Lord, for answering our prayers. And I thank you, Lord, for the great and bold faith you've given each and every one of us, Father. And I just praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord, that Leonid has this transition back to Missouri is going to be, has and will continue to be a smooth transition for it. And we thank you for it, Lord. We thank you that Marlon is having a great time up there with his family. And we thank you, Lord, that he's already healed and delivered and set free, Father. And we just thank you for it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we can come to you with our prayers and know and trust that they will be answered. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, okay. That's good. Had a little bit of sidetrack there, but that's all right. We got it all worked out. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Man, it was 70 degrees here today. Of course, Joe and Nora, they used to hot weather down there where they are. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Praise report, testimony, a song in your heart. Hey, Leo.
Hi, brother. Hey, I just want to say, you know, I really appreciate all you guys' prayer and lifting us up as a family. The Lord's really blessed us, and I just want to say as a testimony, the Lord's coming through in a really mighty way. And orchestrating things just so wonderfully, and I truly, our family was truly experiencing an attack, anxiety attack, and just disturbances in the, you know, through from the side, and but we're really blessed, especially after that this last Tuesday, it's been really, really good.
Awesome, thank you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for answering our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that it's even going to get better for Leo and his wife and family. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Well, all right. Anybody else? Anything else, Leo?
No, that's it.
Okay. All right. Anyone else got a testimony or a praise report? Thank you, Lord. Testimony.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a praise report. This morning, well, really, for about a week, I've been going through whatever I've been going through, chest pains and not being able to breathe and crazy stuff. Anyway, you guys prayed for me this morning, and it eased off a little. And Leon reached through the where he was sitting, and he prayed for me again. And then he called me this afternoon, and prayed for me again. And I've been able to breathe, and the chest pain is nowhere near the excruciating pain I was going through. It's just about totally subsided. I want to give God the glory for that, because I want to praise him for all that he does for me, especially the deliverance and healing. So that's my story.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father, for Kurt's complete recovery in Jesus' name. Yep. Breathing's good.
You can mute me, Michael.
Okay. Yeah, we all like to breathe good. Breathing's good. No pain. Amen. You know, I can't imagine what it's like not to be able to breathe real good. Of course, as some of you, or all, if not all of you, know that my wife suffers with COPD, and she's getting better. But I can't imagine not being able to get your breath when you need it, you know. I just thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for her complete recovery. All right, let's see. What about anybody got a song they want to share? I feel like singing at this microphone up there. Man, but I'm scared I'll run everybody out of here. Hey, Denny, Debbie, how y'all? Okay, we had looked at Luke chapter 24. I don't remember who was that had that asked about that. And 45.
It was Joe.
Joe, okay. Oh, so y'all are the culprits. Or the one that asked the question. Okay, Joe. Okay, I'm going to go ahead and quote it, and then I'm going to ask anybody what they got out of it. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. You know, I think we have to go back and read a little bit to understand what God's saying. Okay, let's go back to 36, and I want to read from there. And as they spake these things, he himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they beheld a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And wherefore do questionings arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you behold me having. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here anything to eat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and he took it and ate before them. And he said unto them, These are my words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must needs be fulfilled, which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets, and the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. Which scriptures is he talking about? He's talking about the law of Moses, the first five books in the Bible. Then he's talking about the prophets. He's talking about all the prophets, the Old Testament prophets. And then the Psalms concerning him. That's what he was doing. He was opening their understanding to see who he was from the Old Testament, and that it was prophesied that he was coming. And he said unto them in 46, and he said unto them, Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations beginning from Jerusalem. Ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. Amen. Okay, Now, I started it. Y'all help me out here. Let's go some more here. Y'all see anything else in those scriptures? What else y'all see in there? Okay, Tim. All right, go ahead, Denny. Hang on, Tim. He beat you to it. He hit the button first.
Yeah.
Go ahead, bro.
It's amazing how, I mean, we look back now and we know the scriptures, and it's easy for us to see, you know, it's all about Jesus would come, die, and save us from our sins. But we know the whole story. But even then, back then, they had the scriptures, the Old Testament. And even though he told them plainly what was going to happen, yet their minds were veiled, you know. But it was after, this was after he was resurrected, so things began to happen after his death, burial, and resurrection. You know, it was time now for the start to reveal. You know, before that, it was still that time of being hidden because the Holy Spirit was soon to be coming upon them. And
that's it.
The Holy Spirit, yeah. Is the one who opens, gives the understanding of these scriptures. And in that same chapter, just going back to starting in 13, it talks about on the road to Emmaus and how, you know, the two were talking and wondering what, you know, and here someone comes alongside them, here it's the Lord, they didn't know it. And, but then, you know, eventually he opens their understanding, and it's by his Spirit, because it can now happen because he had been, you know, what Jesus completed, that work that he needed to do, and now the Holy Spirit could begin doing his work.
Amen. Amen. Yes, that's right. Praise God. That when we receive the Holy Spirit, when we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's the knowledge that God wanted us to have. That's the Holy Spirit teaches us what the Word says, you know. Praise God for that. And that's when your eyes, when the Lord opens up your eyes, when you start studying the Word of God, you get baptized in the Holy Spirit reveals these things to you. And as you study and get in the Word of God. So yeah, that's good. Then opened he their mind that they might understand the scriptures. Now that particular verse there, he's talking about, it looks to me like he's talking about the Old Testament sayings about him, revealing Jesus and who he was, when he was going to come, and what he was going to do once he got here. And still they didn't understand, you know. But praise God, we do now, because we got the Holy Spirit. He'd been died on the cross. He's up there sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. And all we have to do is put our trust in him and believe. Praise God. Amen. Anybody got any questions, or anybody got any anything else they'd like to add, Tim?
Yeah, you know, I spend quite a bit of time in the Word now, and it's really been a blessing to me. But one of the things I noticed in the four narratives of Jesus' life in the New Testament, that, you know, especially towards the end of his life, there's every, you know, things would happen, and it said that the scripture might be fulfilled, or that the prophecy might be fulfilled. And then, you know, you're reading in the Old Testament, and you come across something, you go, oh, okay, it was talked about, you know, 400, 500, 600 years before the fact. And it, you know, came to pass exactly how it was presented by the prophets. And then it wasn't all that long ago that I the revelation hit me, and I was like, boy, was I stupid that, the word in the Old Testament says the word of Jehovah. I'm in Zechariah. I came to Zechariah, and it's, well, Jesus is the word of Jehovah, made flesh. So when I see in the Old Testament now the word of Jehovah, it's Jesus was, putting his thoughts into the Old Testament prophets, and it weaves together wonderfully. And I feel really, I don't know how I missed it for so many years, but now that it's been revealed, it's a fine tapestry that we get to read, and putting both the Old and the New Testament together. And the one that struck me really, I was reading in Zechariah yesterday, and when I got the information on the study for today, the one that hit me, just really hit the point of our eyes were opened was in Zechariah 9:9, and it says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, a king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly, and riding upon an ass, even upon the foal of an ass." And I go, wow, that's the exact words that are used throughout the New Testament, and here they were. I think Zechariah is probably 400 or 500 years, maybe not quite that long, before the birth of Christ, but it's just an amazing thing, and these studies are really great for me. But that was it. Thanks, man.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. Zechariah, and then you got Isaiah, you got the Psalms, you got all of those whole words that God told us before him that he was coming. And yet the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they couldn't even, well, even the disciples, they even had trouble. But anyway, all right, anybody else? It's good. You got any questions, Joe, or anything you'd like to add, comment on? Okay. All right. Anybody got anything else about this Luke chapter 24 and verse 45? There's a lot of scriptures in the Old Testament that refer to Jesus, even by type and shadow,
Hey, Michael.
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, the Holy Spirit is the one that's opening our eyes. But when Jesus walked the earth, the Pharisees' eyes were being closed. God didn't want them to see anything. And it was amazing to me when you look back, the scriptures, they were in the scriptures all the time, but they just didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God.
Yeah, I know. It's even with all the miracles that he did in front of them, they didn't understand that. That's just that's amazing. But yep, you're right. God closed their minds up. Hey, Andrew. We're talking about Luke 24:45, and actually we read from 36 all the way up to 49.
Yeah, I had trouble coming on today. My computer had some updates to do.
Yeah. Okay, I did too. I had a little trouble. It was operator error on my end. All right. We were talking about that 24 and 45. Didn't open to their mind that they might understand the scriptures. Excuse me. And we read all of those other scriptures, and we come to find out that the Old Testament, through the books of Moses the prophets and the Psalms, all testified about Jesus' coming. And that's what the Lord was doing. He's opening their eyes. And also, he told them that when he Let's see, he said this. He said in 49, he said, "And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high." That power from on high, as we all know, was the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is all knowledge. And so once they got that, they understood fully what was going on and really understood, opened up the scriptures to them, even a lot more than what the Lord had opened up to them. So anyway, that's where we are. And we kind of, just talking about that right now. All right, anybody else get any kind of revelation in this particular scripture here? Where are we now? Aren't we on the morning of the third day from Christ? We're on the morning of the third day. Let's kind of take this on another layer here. And he said, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day. I wonder if that can also be talking about the man-child ministry as well. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying that that's what it is, but I'm just throwing it out there. What do y'all think about that? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Okay. The bride, of course, is in Jerusalem. And during the tribulation, that's where all of the teachings and stuff are going to happen, is from the bride and the man-child, of course, teaching the bride and the people to make disciples out of them. I'm just saying, you know, I don't know. And the promise of my Father, well, the promise of the Father also in Joel was the latter rain, wasn't it, in Hosea? The latter rain anointing. The former and the latter rain anointing. So I don't know. I just kind of was just thinking about it. Okay. Anybody else got anything on that Luke chapter 24, verse 45? Well, okay. I also asked that we talk about our thought life as a Christian. And David has a wonderful teaching called Policing Our Thoughts. And I've been going over that for about the last week or so. It's a wonderful teaching about how we are to police our thoughts, cast down those vain imaginations and things. And we talked a little bit about it last week, and I hope to get into it a little bit deeper this week, if y'all want to. And well, I think last week we quoted Proverbs 23:7, which says, "For as he thinketh within himself, so is he." And we understand that how you think is how you are. And we're talking manifestly here. And we're not talking about faith. Now, the Bible talks about faith, and it sometimes speaks manifestly to teach us and to help us understand. But the scriptures say that we should walk, talk, and think by faith. And that's confessing that we have the mind of Christ. Remember, David always talks about 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. When we go out the door, we ought to be looking in the mirror, our spiritual mirror, and seeing Jesus as we go out and saying, yep, that's me and Jesus. I'm Jesus going out of here. That's the way I'm going to be today. I'm not going to be Michael. I'm going to be Jesus today. I'm going to walk just like Jesus by faith. Lord, I thank you that you're going to show me. You're going to put a watch before my lips to speak only as a oracle of God. And you're going to keep my minds clear. Help me keep my mind. And let me know and I'm not going to talk real quick. I'm going to think about what I say before I say it, because I want to be talking like Jesus, you know. And I want to be thinking like Jesus. You know, how many of you know that when you're in heaven, you don't talk like we do down here. You think. Now, you think the thoughts that you have, and I'm talking about me too, the thoughts that I have would be appropriate in heaven. And that's what we need to, that's how we need to police our thoughts. Because every thought that you have in heaven, everybody hears. And so that's kind of a eye opener to our thought life and how we are to cast down those vain imaginations. You know, we can't help that those demons sitting up there throwing these thoughts in our mind all the time, but we can cast them down. We don't have to dwell on them. And I just thought I'd open it up with that right there. Yeah, go ahead, Andrew.
When you say dwell, how long is it dwell?
I can tell you this. If you sit there and dwell on it, it'll eventually manifest as a sin.
Okay. If you know, sometimes it comes in waves, but when it did come in waves, once I prayed to the Lord and I said, Lord, I'd rather be hearing from you than from them.
Amen.
And it really is comforting. Like sometimes I don't know if this has ever happened to people where you're reading the word and you're studying it, and then suddenly you go off on a tangent and you go, wow, where did that come from? The Lord just gave me something better there, you know, and then I never even knew I had that in me when I was studying this, you know. You just out of the blue, a different reference from a different area comes in and you go, wow, you know, like, wow. And then you praise God and you thank God for that when you're studying. I find that really neat when that happens.
Amen. Amen. Well, I've heard David talk about this, and I know it's true in my own life, is that when you dwell on something that you know is not Christian for a very long period of time, it'll certainly manifest in the flesh eventually. But if you cast it down, then it won't have anything. But if you sit there and dwell with it on your thoughts, that's a spiritual sin, right? Remember what Jesus said about adultery or fornication? He's talking about if you look, you know, if you don't have to do it, but if you look with lust upon a woman, then that's adultery. But if that demon's up there sitting, check this out, you know, and you turn your head and I cast that out in me in the name of Jesus, then you're okay. You know, that's what God wants us to do. He doesn't want us to dwell on these. If you get angry, cast it out before it manifests. Go ahead, Andrew.
So it's picking up your cross.
Yeah.
It's remembering your baptism.
There you go. Yeah. That's the old man gone.
Yeah.
That old man is dead. He drowned. You drowned him years ago.
Allowing the Lord to circumcise your heart.
Amen. Yeah, let me ask this. What makes a sinner a sinner? Is it just their actions, or is it what's inside of them? Ephesians 2:3. Let's go over that. Among whom we also all once lived in the lusts of our flesh, doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Now, some of your versions in the Bible say thoughts, where it says minds there. And were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. So what makes a sinner is how they think. It's their thoughts. So what makes us what we are is what we think. So what makes, what, we want to be transformed from the way we used to think to the way that Christ thinks, right? A lot of times we want God to do that for us. He won't, like, oh, I'm just waiting on God to do it, you know. I can sit here and I can speak these thoughts, but I'm waiting on Jesus to do it. No. God wants us to do something. He wants us to cast those thoughts down. That's our job, is to cast those thoughts down. But how do you do that? Well, let's look at Romans 12 and 2. And be not fashioned according to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's given us an order that he wants us to police our thoughts, ourselves. He wants us to decide which thoughts are legal to have and which thoughts are not legal to have. And if your mind has been transformed, it's because your thoughts have changed. You know, I found out quite some time ago that if these illegal thoughts come into my mind, if I get in the Word of God, they'll leave. That's true. They'll leave. You know. So the Lord is telling us in Romans 12 and 2 that he's telling us that the only way you're going to be transformed is to change your thoughts, is to renew your mind and to think the way that God wants us to think. He wants us to police our thoughts. As too many people out there give too much to an outward thing than the inward thoughts. But God wants us to clean up the whole body, don't he? Yeah, Andrew.
There's that verse in Philippians chapter 4 that goes in a little bit more detail here. 4 and 8. Where it starts with "for the rest." And this, I think, would assist a person in policing his thoughts also, because it means you change your mind into the proper thought.
Yep.
Honorable, just, pure. You know, sometimes just even making a list of these on the side somewhere on a note of paper and putting them up somewhere. I've got this verse in my kitchen. So,
oh, yeah. That's a good one to have.
You know, that's the good kitchen food. Yeah.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, and then there's lovely thoughts that are lovely, thoughts that are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, take account thereof. Whatever things you have both learned and received, and you know, you can also take into account all the stuff you learned here in at Unleavened Bread and receive. We got some real amazing stuff that we received here, because someone actually went to the Lord and was given revelation, and he passed that on to us. And that was some people think that's really nice of him, but he was supposed to do that too. You know, he was sent to do that, and it changes the way we think from the rest of the people in denominationalism. I don't know about you, but when I came out of the Catholic Church, one of the main reasons was that praying to Mary thing. But when I thought about that, I got in sorrow for all those people. I wasn't there thinking I'm better than you or anything. I was sorrowful for them. But they think that that's somewhere in this word, actually. But they couldn't do that. And it's just wrong.
That's because they haven't been taught to read and study the Word of God. I think the Catholics, I don't know much about Catholics. There wasn't very many. If I knew any, I didn't know that they were Catholic when I was growing up. But I understand David was one. And I understand that the priest did all the teaching.
Oh, yeah. They tell you don't read the Bible. You know, someone actually told me that about the Catholics, and I was in a Catholic church once, and he says, oh, you don't read the Bible, I'll read it for you.
Yeah, he's a learned man, right?
Yeah, and then I was shocked that he repeated the exact same words, the person who told me that he would say that, if I said that to him about reading the Bible, and then my eyes went, whoa, you know? Like a revelation just happened to me there. Like the guy told me what my future would be. So, yeah, that's something I won't forget.
Amen. Well, you know, the mainline denominational churches, they don't say it, but they don't. All they want you to do is listen to them, listen to the preachers. We think because somebody's sitting up there in the, I remember thinking this, you know, myself, that man up there, he's been to school. He knows all this stuff. He knows Jesus, man. He's walking with Jesus. And he is as far from Jesus as the most vile sinner in a lot of cases. And I didn't understand that until, you know, just a few weeks into my Christianity, I found out, wait a minute. God heals because I've just been healed. You know, and I said, and then I started asking myself, well, how come they teach that God doesn't heal anymore? You know, and I got to asking questions and people look at me with them stupid looks, you know.
Yeah, you know, that used to perplex me. They would ask you to pray for someone because they're in an illness, and then they'd a week later tell you he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah. Absolutely. That didn't make a whole lot of sense, did it?
No.
And they'd ask for prayer.
You know, you go off in little corners there when we used to have a study in one of the churches I used to go to, and then I'd go, well, wait a minute, didn't last week he say he didn't do
that? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, and that's why God wants us to read the Word ourselves and get it ourselves, because He'll show us, He'll teach us. In fact, He tells us, He said, don't let man teach you, that I'll teach you this stuff. And when He's talking about man, He's talking about man in the flesh teaching you. But you can get somebody that's Holy Spirit filled, that the Lord has been speaking to, and learn something quickly. But boy, you can't do it somebody that's been to seminary, or at least I haven't been able to find one yet that had. Some get some things straight, you know. Some people, some men get some doctrine straight as opposed to most everybody else. But then they're kind of wrong over here, you know. So when you get into the Word yourself and you study these things for yourself, you find out, you know. And I tell you what the biggest problem of Christianity is as a whole. We've got that McDonald attitude. We won't drive up to the window, get a quick bite, and go on, you know. They think that we've got something. Instead of sitting down at a big high-dollar steak place and chewing and meditating on that steak, at $25 steak you got, you know, and meditating on that. But that's what God wants us to do. People want to read the Word like a hog. David calls it eating the Word like a hog and just going through it like reading a newspaper. when God wants us to get on it and we come across these passages that mean something, he wants us to stop and to read and to meditate and to ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? And I'll tell you something. Every one of you know this too, that when you meditate on a scripture and you find out one revelation about it, you can come back a little bit later and another layer will fall off of it and you'll see something else, that it means something entirely different. So, policing our thoughts. Praise God.
Michael?
Yes.
Yeah, just before you started talking about meditating right there, I was said just thinking just before that, and this verse, Psalm 1, 2, and 3. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the streams of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also does not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And I was thinking on that before you started speaking about that, and how I think a big problem that we have, me anyway, is meditating. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can really read the word a lot. We can listen a lot and listen to teachings and read a lot, but we really need to take that time to meditate and get it in so we can.
Amen.
In one ear, not the other, unless there's that meditation. And I just think how important that is, and there maybe is a lack of that in a lot of us, meditating on the word.
Yeah, Debbie, that's a great point, because when we read these Bible studies that we get, you know, oh, yeah, I got that, man, I got that. Well, you go down 2 weeks later, somebody will ask you a question about that Bible study that pertains to the Bible study, and it's already left you.
Right.
It's already left you. So if we sit there and we get it in our heart, like Debbie's talking about, and we meditate on it, then it'll be there, and the Lord will pull it out when you need it. Oh, I'll be so glad when the man child gets here, won't y'all? Man, that light of rain anointing. Woo, Lord of God. Hey, Denny, when the light of rain comes now, that means we're going to get younger, doesn't it? That means we're going to look younger. We're going to lose some years, huh? We're going to fall back, man. I'm going back. I can see 30 year old. My goodness, I can see it. Look at it, man. Mm-mm-mm. Me and David were talking about that tonight. He said, you get that anointing, man, you be looking like me. I said, no, I ain't going that way out, boy. I'm going to look like me like I did 30 years ago. What are you talking about? I don't know what you looked like 30 years ago. I can tell you what you look like now. But so, but anyway, I just love side note there. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord.
Psalm 110 and 3.
All right, let's go there.
Just so you know, it's there.
All right.
Talking about youth there.
Hey, come on. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Yes, Lord. Thy people offer themselves willingly in the day of thy power, in holy array. Out of the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. Come on now. I can see the year dropping off of me right now. Praise God. How many of you want to be 30 years old again? Woo! I can't remember that far back. Good glory to God. It won't be too much longer before. Gosh. You know, how many of you thought you'd be this old when you were kids? Now, Andrew, you're not the old enough. Lynn isn't all Lynn. I am. I'm 70. I'll be 71 here in just a little bit.
Tomorrow, I'm 56.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man. You don't look a day over 79.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, my. But it'll sure be good. You know, I want to be like Moses, don't y'all? You know, that guy was still strong. He had good eyesight. He was strong just like he was 30 years before. He was, what was he, 120 years old? That guy was climbing mountains like a young man. That's me, man. Y'all can see me jumping up and down doing that. Seeing with my eyes. Okay. Yeah, that's good to think about. All right. Set your mind on the things that are above, because that's where Christ is seated, right? There ain't no evil thoughts up there, is there? So if there's not any evil thoughts down up there, they ought not to be down here where we are. We need to keep our minds up there with him. You couldn't live with one another up there in heaven if there were evil thoughts, because everybody hears your thoughts and their thoughts up there. Because the way they communicate up there, if you've ever listened to some of those people that have died and gone to heaven, you know, they are angels have visited or something, they talk through their mind, through their thought life. The way they communicate is with thought. They don't have to speak. It's only in a holy place with holy people that you could get along with people who spoke with their thoughts. And we need to remember as we go in our daily walk that Christ can hear your thoughts. The angels can hear your thoughts that are around about you. And if we understand that, then we'll be more diligent. Let me put it this way. We'll be more diligent to cast those thoughts down. Yeah, Tim.
Yeah, along those lines, it's probably in all four Gospels, but in Mark 6 and 7, when he's sending out the 12, he called on to the 12 and began to send them forth two by two, and he gave them authority over the unclean spirits. So if the spirits are, you know, corrupting your thought, and that, you know, Jesus has given us the authority over that. So it's up to us to grasp it and to exercise it. But it's there, it's been given, and it's a tool in our toolbox that we can use as the authority over those spirits.
Amen. Yes, he's given us that armor, hadn't he? He's given us that armor of God to put on in the mornings, and we do that just like Tim was talking about. Amen. That's a good one. All right.
It's like a lot of other things too, though. And the more you use it, the more the effect you can see, the more confidence you have in it, and the more comfortable you are doing it, and the more it becomes part of your psyche or your being is to act that way. Kind of like David's old teachings where he talked about feeding the white dog or feeding the black dog.
Yeah.
I like that analogy, so.
Well, that's true. That's true. If you feed yourself with the TV all day long, you're feeding the flesh. You're feeding what them liberals want you to know. They're trying to transform you into them. But if you read the Word of God and you study the Word of God, you'll be transformed into Jesus. And that's that black dog, white dog analogy. God wants us to set our mind on the things of him and not on the things that we have here. That's why I probably not any of you have a TV, but if you do, that is the most vile amplifier of the world that you can have in your house. Even watching the news, I can tell you, from my own experience, when I go back to Arkansas, I don't have a TV here. And I'll tell you something else that I found, and I've had to repent of, is getting on the internet and getting the news too, you know. instead of getting in. How many of you ever got on the internet and I'm just going to check the news out and just see what the headlines are? And 3 hours later, you know, that's just the way it works, you know. And I said, oh my goodness, I've been sitting here and I hadn't gotten into the word and I'm tired and I need to go to bed. You know, and then you've got all that vile stuff in your mind going to bed. Who was it? Somebody's, Denny, you might help me here. Somebody brought up the other day that the TV or the computer screen, they say that you should, before you go to sleep, you need to turn that thing off 2 hours before you go to sleep because it affects your brain waves or some kind of woo, one of them kind of deals, you know. It affects you in some kind of negative way. Anybody ever heard that?
Little screen.
You mean your phone too or just computer?
Well, computer, your phone, anything. Anything that has a screen on it, you know, that you have to look at. I think that's what he was talking about.
Yeah, there's something about the TV frequency. You know, I don't know if it's much anymore, but the old cathode ray tubes ones, I know that they, you know, it make, and I think it's probably just optical, it shuts down the brain and, you know, just shuts off certain brain lengths or wavelengths in your brain while you're watching it. And you know, I've seen a lot of people that, you know, the TV's on and they're just zombies.
Yeah. You know, I've not caught myself doing that.
I try not to. I don't have a TV anymore, you know, praise God. But it does. It detracts from your thinking.
It does. It does. When I go back to Arkansas, and the TV is going blaring all the time, you know, and I'm just, I tell you, by the time I get ready to come home, which is sometimes a whole lot less than a week, I'm ready to come home because, man, I am drained from all of that mess, you know, and I'm constantly doing warfare while I'm there. But some of those times, not the last few times, but before that, I would sit down and I was going to watch the 6 o'clock news, and then I was going to turn that thing off. And then 10 o'clock, you know, 4 hours later, I've done watched Hannity, I've done watched Bill O'Reilly, I've done watched all of those things, those news shows, you know. I've done gone through the whole gamut. Hadn't been in the Word a bit. You know, and you just beat yourself down. Oh, my goodness, Lord, I'm so sorry, you know. Condemnation sets in, faith leaves. You get down on your knees, you grovel, and you throw snot. But, you know, you should, we've got to discipline ourselves. And I'm not trying to put anybody under the law. I'm just telling you what my experience has been. Is that TV, to me, is one of the most vile inventions that man ever made. But simply because of the world is the one that's running it. It's not people of God that's running it. It's the world that's running it. But, the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 1, listen to, 12 and 1, lay aside every weight. Is the TV a weight? Absolutely. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us. You know, the things that we have our minds on down here, including all of these situations we get ourselves in, all these circumstances we get ourselves in, they wear our minds down, and they keep us out of the race. We're sitting on the sidelines. What in the world happened to me, you know? God wants us to get our mind on what we have up in the heavenly places all the time. What we got up there anyway? What do we got up in the heavenly places? We got a holy mind, don't we? We got all of our needs supplied up there. There ain't no sin up there either. And we're supposed to be, by our prayers, bringing God's kingdom down here. And how you going to do that sitting in front of a worldly TV or a worldly computer? He wants us to continually be setting our mind, our mind. And that was an order given to us, wasn't it? Set your mind on the things of heaven and not on the things of earth. That's what he told us. Praise God. All right, somebody else help me out here on this policing our thoughts here.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead, brother.
You prompted me in thinking about when I went into some business office in the waiting room. They had a TV running. I don't know if it was the Clinton News Network or one of the other networks, but it was just, I was listening to it and I thought, these guys are really professional liars. This script is crafted in such a way that they can make, I don't know how they do it. It's very professional. But, you know, what they were talking about was, it was complete just, you know, if you've studied a lot of these things, you know, the way they do things is just so deceptive. And they'll state part of it's true, but then they'll twist it and they'll reword it in such a way that it's completely misrepresenting what's going on. I was really shocked. I had to say, I thought, what? Are you kidding? These guys look very professional.
Well, they are. They're getting paid to lie to you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know about this. I don't know about the actual people reading the script, but the people writing it certainly are.
Well, I can tell you from listening to them, all of them. Look, Malcolm, let me just throw something out there at you. Have you ever seen this United States divided as it is right now?
Oh no! My goodness! I mean, it's really
there is no talking to the left. You can't. There's no way you can talk to those people and try to get any sense out of them. That's the faction spirit. That's the stupid spirit. They think they're right.
And the other thing too is the folks that are a little closer to the truth, say on the right end, they still, a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them have the spirit of faction also.
Mm-hmm.
And very fleshly responses. You know, we're gonna, you know, this is how we should deal with it, or you know, that kind of thing. And it's, so if you, I don't know, I just feel like a lot of these places, it's just not healthy, even though they might be on top of what's going on and have gotten closer to the truth. There's a factious spirit there. There's still that spirit of division and, you know.
Patriotic spirit.
Yeah, and of course, then there's the God and country. By the way, I ran into this song. I don't know if you heard this, but it was, I'm a born again American, and conceived in liberty, you know, the Bible and the Bill of Rights. And I was thinking, wait a minute.
Okay.
How many rights do Christians have? Jesus said, you give up your rights, you know, because now you're. Like Paul says over and over, you're Christ's bond servant or bond slave or Christ's slave, and you know, over and over and over, it's, I mean, we can translate it nicely so it's servant, but it's still, you know, where are the rights? The rights are down out the door when you're a slave. Of course, the end result is pretty snazzy, you know, to be son of God, daughter of God, but anyway, this rights thing, it's really inbred in most of us, I think, as Americans, those of us who are listening from the States. There's something about that we have rights, and, you know, we have our Constitution, and we have, you know, don't tread on me and all this stuff. But goodness, Paul got, of course, Paul was probably a little unusual because he, the first thing the Lord said to Ananias regarding Paul was that I will show him what great things he must suffer for my sake. which I think, you know, I think to that, that was a great relief to Paul to hear that, that he was going to suffer great things, because I think part of his remorse during those 3 days without food, water, or eyesight or anything, I think there's a tremendous amount of remorse realizing what he had done against Jesus. And Jesus phrased it to him in a very personal way, you know, that you're fighting against me. So it's Jesus was taking it personally, and Paul knew that. So anyway, I think a lot of the suffering that Paul went through and that he describes isn't necessarily what everybody's going to go through, but it's he was a special situation that, you know, he'd done a lot of. He was the cause of the death of many, many saints. So anyway, I guess I got off topic there. And Michael got off mic. Have to push that mute button.
Yeah, thank you.
Or the unmute button.
I did, I unmuted. Go ahead, Andrew.
I don't think he really did come off topic there. Because, you know, when everyone else here got saved for that first time, you realized how much sin there was in the world and how much stuff you did wrong, too. You know, so that is exactly what you said there, Paul. Paul the Apostle probably had that magnified much more than what we had, seeing as he was there with people like even Stephen, you know, when he held the coats for all the people there. And, you know, I always sometimes think, you know, like, what were the people who were his brethren when they saw this actually happening before their eyes, you know? You know, I sometimes think, what if there was a youth there going, Mom, isn't that Stephen, our pastor or our overseer, you know, why are they doing that to him? You know? And anyway.
Amen. Yeah. You if you take a step back and just to look at this division that we have here in this United States, it works just exactly like a spiritual faction. That factious spirit will get on you without hands being laid on you. If you listen to a divisive statement from somebody and you sit there and you listen to it day in, day out, that spirit will get on you. You'll be just as stupid as the rest of them. And that's why you can look on, you can go on places like InfoWars, and I'm just throwing this out there, okay? And they'll go out on the street and try to talk to these Antifa people or Black Lives Matter people and try to find out what their belief system is, and all they'll do is blow a whistle in them, or, you know, they can't carry on a decent conversation. They don't want to talk. They just want to protest. And that's always been amazing to me. And when you hit them with logic, natural logic, they just poo-pooed that. They just, oh, man, that don't mean nothing. Let me tell you what, you know, and it's just a crazy world that we're living in, and we need to be praying as a group for the Lord. You know, the Lord tells us to pray for your countries, pray for the men over you. And we need to be praying for Joe and Nora over there in South Africa. We need to be praying for Andrew. He's got that, what's his name? That's how much he meant to me. I mean, I can't even remember. Yeah, Justin Trudeau.
Yeah.
That guy's a nutcase. Hey, boy, y'all need some relief up there.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he sort of saw through what he did there to that to that woman when he was talking about people, kind, I think it was.
Yeah.
He got her to quickly agree to speak the way he speaks.
Yeah.
And you don't want that happening. You want to speak the way someone else speaks, and that's the Lord. And, you know, he's getting a lot of flack for it, and he actually got some flack for it for some European leaders for having done that so easily. You know, he said it was only a joke, though.
After the fact.
Yeah. And if I'm not saying it's the same as it, but if you look at the author of a book that he was trying to make a peace for 1,000 years, you know, you almost kind of think that all this other stuff that they're doing now in the journalism and in the news and in the government is kind of having a peace that they want to make in a world order system that is going to probably last for what they think is 1,000 years. You know, if this guy had this plan and he came against the Jewish people, among other people, then how does that fit in with how you're supposed to love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind and your neighbor, and even your enemy? You know, I like that Christian Sniper's thing. It helped me a lot the first time I read it, that they're there to actually help you to be a better Christian. And you got to love your enemies. You know, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. The fulfilling of the law is love. And to love the Lord, to follow his commandments, you know, is one of the greatest things you can do. And, you know, a command there from the apostle is to honor all men. Honor and obey are two different things. Jesus had to honor Pontius Pilate and Herod. Look what they did to him. And look what they did to Paul. He had to honor Caesar. He appealed to him. And they took him. And he had no accusations against him. But they killed him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
That was an honor. He honored that leader. His word happened to him. But look what happened to Rome later. You know, they lost that Caesaric empire. It changed into something else. But, you know, it's not as strong as it used to be. But I think we're returning to something very similar, where if you're supposed to honor all men and honor the king, you know, you've got a president there. I don't think there's too much honor being given to him, even from his peers, from other nations. Love the brethren and fear God. You know, that's a command. You know, that's something you got to take up your cross with. And I think a lot of people who are in this anarchist stuff, and you know, it's just a different America. My mom loved your country. You could not say anything wrong with your country to her. She was liberated by the Americans in Germany, and she was almost adopted by a Texan, but she fell in love and got married. And she was there. You know, even the attitude of the soldier guys back then was different from what you got now, from the World War II vets. You know, they had, yes, a military discipline, but they had a bit of a something else of a discipline, common sense thing. Well, they would not even think of doing some of the things that I hear of happening, you know. And my mom used to, actually, she was a teenager. She was 19, and she was served one of the generals
American generals there, I guess, getting his breakfast together and stuff. And, actually helping out as one of those WACs. She had papers from him that cleared her, you know. It's amazing how you were allies with the Russians. And those papers, even the Russians would obey that general's order that she did her paper. Because she snuck back to their country she used to live in, Poland, and she saw there was nothing there, and those papers got her there and back, across into the Russian side and back. And she'd just show a Russian soldier and say, "Oh, the general, I better not do anything." Because, they had respect on both sides there, Can you imagine what would have happened if you got together with Russians? These two nations would have ruled the world. But, it's hard to believe that they went from that alliance to what you have now. And I think that probably kept the peace more than anything else. Because of those old guys, they're saying, well, they weren't that bad back then. They're all gone now, those guys. They were Papa and Grandpa for some of us.
Yeah.
And they had a different mentality, I think, back then, too. Yeah, it's the power came out of Europe and it went east and west, mm-hmm. to America and to Russia. It used to always be that European continent.
Mm-hmm.
It was either England or France or Germany, and now it seems that it's gone far west and the farthest east you can get in Europe. And I don't know why I even said that. That's
over in Europe, they've got a complete mess over there.
Yeah.
There, a lot of those countries are turning Muslim.
Yeah,
which were Christians. Yeah. Christians at one time.
Yeah, and that sort of verifies the clay coming together with the iron.
Yeah,
because these guys are immigrating like anything. This is kind of like them getting ready to set that next phase up in the tribulation time,
mm-hmm.
where you can see these massive immigration from these countries that were never conquered by any iron nation, and they're coming into Europe in droves, and they're also going into Russia too. There's a lot of mixture nations there, like, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, Tajikistan. Those are all the Medo-Persian Empire. Russia, it has a great allegiance with Iran now.
Yeah.
It just so happens that America now owns Iraq. And that's Babylon, or past Babylon, and the other one is Medo-Persia. The Russians got something, like there's an influx of immigrants into America that are Muslim, but Russia's got an ace over you, because they always had to deal with these people from those Istan nations. It used to be part of the former Soviet Union. So they just built them a mosque for over $1 billion. It's the largest mosque in the world over there in Russia.
Hmm.
To gain favor with them.
And well, it might be also to control them, you reckon?
Yeah. And this has also happened during the presidency of Obama. That was their way of showing, look, I built you It's a huge building. $1 billion gets you a lot over in Russia.
Where was it built?
I think it was built in Moscow.
Really?
Yeah.
I hadn't heard about that. $1 billion, that's a big building.
Yeah. And they had the guys there looking at it, going, "Ah, wow." And they were like really appreciated that this was, it's their biggest one. Before that, I think it was the one in Mecca.
Yeah. Well, they're all going to be pilgriming to Moscow now. It'd be hard to make it up there on the camel, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Anyway, so I don't even. I'm sorry for taking us off on tangent.
Well, we were talking. It's actually not. It's on the same subject. We're talking about faction and the divisiveness that's in the world today, and how the powers that be are manipulating that and controlling that, and want the divisiveness. The deep state wants the divisiveness in order to be able to create havoc in this country, to get out from under this sovereign nation populist view that Trump has brought back in to America. And that's why the Lord has told us to keep praying protection upon Trump. And he's, you know, because of Trump, there are countries out there now that are going back to the sovereignty and the populist part in their nation. Poland's one. Poland said, we're not going to have any more of this immigration garbage, you know. And there's Christian nation. We're a Christian nation. We're not going to put up with a bunch of Muslims coming in here and trying to change our culture. And that's what the deep state wants to do. The New World Order, as you said, wants to do. They want it all to be changed, to be chaos, so they can come in there and say, here's what we're going to do, folks. We're going to just be all come together and kumbaya, and we're going to be in control. That's the way they want it. So anyway,
it almost reminds me of what you're talking about there about Daniel 9:27. That's okay. They want to fulfill that, and perhaps it'll be done at an executive level where they're gonna confirm a covenant. What kind of covenant is that going to be that they're going to confirm? We've got one already.
Yeah, it's already there. And matter of fact, it's already been made. They're just waiting on the powers that be to talk the people into signing this thing. If I'm not mistaken, somebody could correct me. I believe the thing has already been signed, but they have to enact it, and they can't enact it until the people are behind it. And that's why you get all of this stuff that's going on over there in the Middle East. I thought we was fixing to get in a war here the other day. Y'all see what happened? Are you Syria and Syria and Israel. Who was it? Syria sent a drone over into Israeli airspace, and Israel sent their fighter jets over there to destroy something. I don't know what they did, but they bombed a bunch of stuff over there. Did something. And, man, I said, oh, this is terrible, you know.
Now, I never understood why they're giving such freedom for those drones, man. There is so much damage they can do with those.
Yeah.
You know, they got some countries even using eagles to go and get them and destroy them in the air.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They were, people from Germany were sending these drones over to some of the people in Poland who wanted pills for abortion because they weren't for sale over in Poland, and they were sending them over in the drones. And I'm going, what are they doing? Setting them up for some terrorists to come in and to put something else in those drones? You know, like, I'm sure the military is thinking of this. You know, like, you got all these drones flying around in the States delivering pizzas, whatever. You know, it's high tech. We got to do it, you know. Okay, like, here's some anthrax for you, too, or something. You know, Come on. Use some common sense here. It's almost like, you know, like the guy who was over there in Hawaii made that false alarm for the missiles. And because they thought there was going to be a missile attack. And it was a false alarm. And,
you know. Well, I've read on the alternate news, not on mainstream media, that was not a false alarm, that they actually shot down a missile coming in over there before it ever got to Hawaii. And I don't know how all that works, but that's what I saw.
Well, that's the news nowadays. So I'm not saying that it wasn't your way, but
I don't know.
Well, I just skim it very blankly and try to get away from it as soon as possible.
Well, you know, the only thing we could, here's what I'm thinking that we need to do is just pray for our government, pray for Trump, that the Lord would protect him and the people that are in his cabinet, because what he's doing is changing people over in Europe too, because they're seeing that it can be done with bold people, with people with a backbone, and they're starting to do it over there. Who is the latest country to do that? Somebody just unmuted and got me to echoing. That was Malcolm. Go ahead, Malcolm.
How did that happen? I didn't mean to say anything. I just switched back for another call. Huh. Anyway, I'll mute again. I don't even know what you're saying. Hey, Michael, I'm not hearing a thing, but I didn't intend to get on, so I'll just mute myself.
Okay.
There's a pregnant pause here. Oh, there you are. Good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for telling me to unmute.
I wonder why I was unmuted. That doesn't make sense to me, because I left muted, and I came back, and that doesn't make sense. Anyway, better living through technology, like we used to say at Intel.
I think we better get back on the topic here then.
Yeah, that'd be good. Amen. Let's do Romans 8:5. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit the things of the Spirit. Well, what does that mean? So, they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh. What does that mean? Yeah, Willie.
It reminds me of that scripture that we know where it says Abraham, I believe it was Abraham, if he was minded to go back in his own country, he would have had opportunity, you know. I believe that was with Abraham, right? If you guys remember that scripture. I think it spoke about it in Hebrews when they were speaking.
It might have been Moses.
That one was different. That was the one where he was, you know, he decided not to go back to Egypt, but to suffer in the wilderness. But there was one that said if he was minded to go back to his own country, he would have had opportunity. It may have been Moses, but no, I think it was Abraham. But yeah, it's just it's about the state of mind, you know, where you're at spiritually, what you've chosen, you know, spiritually. How do you see yourself spiritually? Are you willing to follow God? You willing to follow yourself? You know, you're willing to follow God's thoughts, or are you willing to follow your own thoughts? Are you like-minded with God, you know? But yeah, it just reminded me of that.
So they that are after the flesh. Wade, did you want to say something? You keep unmuting, buddy.
Yes. I have no way of telling you that I wanted to talk.
Okay. Go ahead.
Those after flesh mind the things of the flesh, and those after spirit mind the things of the spirit. I just see that that's talking about the warfare we go through to either have the mind of Christ or the mind of Satan or the Antichrist. And we have to choose whether we want to have the mind of Christ or the mind of Antichrist in our warfare. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. People who are after the fleshly things and those fleshly appetites that we have, they think the thoughts of the flesh, don't they? That's what he's talking about. And, of course, the second part of that is, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So those people are after the spiritual things. They're after the things of Christ. They want to have a spiritual understanding about the things of the Spirit. If you're after the flesh, you're going to think thoughts of the flesh all the time. And if you're after the Spirit, you're going to think thoughts of the Spirit. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's what we do. He calls it the mind of the flesh and the mind of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. It's Romans 8 and 6. So if you think only thoughts of flesh, those fleshly thoughts, what's going to happen? Well, we just got through reading. It's going to be death to you. But the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. And so that's why Christ wants us to always think about things above and not below. You're going to be like Jesus. That's what he wants. He wants us to be like Jesus, walking in the steps of Jesus. Because what did he say? He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. You're going to be what you're going to eat, right? If you eat Jesus, you're going to be Jesus. If you eat flesh, you're going to be flesh. One's death and one is life. All right, anybody else see anything here? Cleanse our mind with the Word of God. Renew our mind with the Word of God. It all reverts back to that. Set a watch before our lips. Always think about what you're going to say before you say it. And think that you want and say what the Word says rather than what the flesh says. God's growing us up to do these things and to be mindful of them. Go ahead, Andrew.
There's a similar verse in 1 Corinthians 6 and 12. It's Paul talking about the meat and the belly. Down in 13, it refers to that as being something. And I just would think that that someone should maybe read that in 12 and 13, because it mentions it as being something really pretty bad as it comes to all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. And I would think that expedient there means suitable. All are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall bring to naught both it and them. And the body, and that's like what Michael was saying. In heaven, they all know your thoughts. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. And God both raised the Lord and will raise up us through his power. And then, of course, it goes on to describe the body there to you. And, you know, if he's going to bring everything to naught, you know, how do you know if you went too far on some of these things, since we have so much of this, these devices that can bring words to us, you know, like the internet, you know. I don't personally have cable vision because I received a vision over that not too long ago, and God told me to get rid of my cable vision. I said that on the air here, and I did, and I'm glad I did, because I used to waste a lot of time turning the TV on. And I still have some movies, though, you know. I don't watch every day, you know. I try to keep that down, you know. There are occasions where I do get a little more active in that, but how do you know if you cross the line here on some of these things? Because you look at that word there, and we're supposed to love the Lord. That fornication word there. You know, and it kind of reminds me of one of the churches in Revelation, where you eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication. You know, you're taught to do that. And I don't think it's what people in the church would think it is, where it's an actual statue or an idol would be something that commands a lot of your time. Anyway, that's because you see, I was looking at this, and also when I look at Mark and the Great Commission over there at the end, it says that, and I'm not using this as an excuse for watching TV, but I sort of think it's more so if you happen to be in a bank and the TV's on or something, or these areas where words come out of, you know, like there's so many places now: internet, cell phone, television, DVD. Blu-ray, the gaming systems, all those gaming systems, Xbox, PlayStation, there's the textbooks, there's the magazines and the newspapers, and there's so many places you're inundated with these words, but whose words are they? And if the Lord says he's going to put this all away, then it's going to have to be by him. And what would you do about the person you're talking to? Because he's speaking words too. How do you put him away? Except that's going to happen too. You know,
This earth is going to be cleansed of all those people. But there's going to be a resurrection before it. The first resurrection, right? And there'll be very few people left. How does he choose those very few people? You don't want to be part of them, but, you know, is there a way then other than time travel for those people in the millennium to come back through time to face the tribulation who are born there to be saved? And time travel is no problem with God because he did it with the Apostle John. You know, I'm not saying we go for that because we know better than that. You know, don't start preaching that to anyone because we can't do that, you know. We have to settle for what we know now, you know. But if there is ever an option where that can happen in the millennium, that's it. But you got to be careful who you're going to tell that to, because you get some goofy kid out there, they'll say, oh, I'm just going to do that then. You know. And no, you have to go in the first resurrection, not in some time travel thing. But, you know, it's weird when you think about that kind of stuff, you know. If that is actually what can happen, you know, so that at the great white throne, I'm not even going to say anything about that. It's too scary.
Go ahead, Willie.
There's a scripture that caught my attention when you read it, where it says, you know, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but not, but I will not be brought under the power of any. You know, I found that to be like such a wonderful comment, because right after that I read out of Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, in the New Testament, all things are lawful for us. You know, but what does it profit, you know, if it damages someone else's conscience, you know? But, you know, for as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God, you know. Every seed brings forth after its own kind, you know, and are you sowing the seed of the Son of God into that person's conscience, even though all things are lawful for you, you know? At that time, it's just not expedient. You know, and I was like, wow, that's really awesome. That's awesome, man. I never looked at, you know, all things lawful. I could not understand that scripture for nothing until now. And I'm just like, oh, you know, it's one of those. But yeah, that's pretty amazing. As soon as you said it, you know, the Lord showed me it. And I was like, God, what do you mean by all things are lawful? You know. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You know, how do we prepare people, you know, for a tribulation? How do we prepare people, you know, to put to death the deeds of the flesh? You know, for as many as are led by the Spirit, you know, these are the sons of God. You know, you'll sow the seed of the Son of God, you know, into their hearts, you know. Some people on their deathbed call on Jesus at that moment. You know, some people will call on Jesus right at the tribulation or right at the end of the tribulation, you know. As long as you're willing to, you know, walk lawfully after the things of the Spirit, which are needful for the body. You know, we know we're free, you know. But if it's not needful to the body, you know, how can we, you know, strengthen our brethren? How can we encourage them? You know, how will Christ be manifested in them? Man, is real. That was really cool. I like that. That was cool. Yeah, amen. That's all I got to say.
Amen. I kind of want to address what Andrew was talking about there a little bit. You know, God continually tells us that he wants us to police this mind that he's given us. And in Ephesians 5 and verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be not ye therefore partakers with them," and that's talking about the sons of disobedience, "be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were once darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Well, what did he say about being the children of light? He said, if your eye is single, your whole body's going to be full of light. And so what does that mean? He's talking about the things of the spirit there. And if your eye is not double, okay, it's not on both the world and the kingdom, because if you got it on the world and the kingdom, what are you? You're lukewarm. And that ain't a good place to be. If you're lukewarm, what happens to those people? They get spewed out. "For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them." Ephesians 5, 9 through 11. That word fellowship there, have no fellowship, is the Greek word sukoineo. And that means a unity, having things in common. That's what it means. Having things in common with them. We have things in common here because we share the word with one another. The TV people, to think about that, they share one thing in common. Everybody's parked in front of that TV. And they're receiving what they've given to them. We park ourselves amongst other believers and take in what God has given each part of the body here, which makes one whole. So that, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather even reprove them. And just thought I'd throw that out there for discussion. So what do y'all think about that one? I'm just saying. I'm not, you know, we have to be careful of what we put into this thing up here. If we want to help, as Willie and Andrew both were talking about, if we want to help the people coming in the days ahead, the only thing that we need to be putting in here is the good things of Christ. And, it's really, really, we have it the toughest of any generation behind us, all the way back to Adam. Okay? I can tell you why. Does anybody tell me why? Because we have so much distraction from Christ. We've got TVs, we've got, who was it? Somebody was talking about that a while ago. We've got electronic devices, we've got the iPhones, we've got the disc phone, we've got the games and all of that mess. They didn't have those back in from the 50s back, you might say. They didn't have that stuff. And Andrew was talking about the World War II vets. They were solid people. Most of them were just solid folks. Reason being, they had a family life. And most of them were Christians, you know, a lot of them, whatever that might mean in anybody's mind. They had a moral standard that they went by. We've gotten away from that because we're a, like I mentioned earlier, we're a McDonald generation. We want to drive up to the window, get our Jesus, and go on, you know. And that's not what God wants. God wants us to spend time with him every day. You know, I'm talking to myself too, because I'm telling you, that's what God's been placing in my heart here for many months now. Spend more time with Him. Spend more time. Spend more time. Spend more time. Yeah, but Jesus, I spend 15 minutes every day. What are you talking about? You know? Well, that's not what He's talking about. He wants to know you, and He wants you to know Him in a personal way. And you know, I don't know. Anybody got any other thing that they'd like to mention? Go ahead, Denny. Yeah,
I would. I had one of my Bibles, I can't find it right now, which just for like a little test to if should we do something or not, should we do it? And it's often scripture. There's only three or four points. You mentioned a couple more. I'm sure you could add more to the list. But one was we're to do everything to the glory of God. So if you're about to do something, you know, that's one of the tests. Is this for the glory of God? Another one was we're to do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Well, hang on. Let's go back to that one you just talked about. Say it, that first one.
Doing whatever you do, it should be done to the glory of God.
All right, there you go. Now, if you ask that question, mm-hmm. anytime that you think that you want to do something, that would put a check mark there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It would be a.
I like that.
Yeah. The other was doing whatever we do, what we're supposed to do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Of course, that could be the nature, character, and authority.
Yeah. Yep. We're standing instead of Christ, aren't we?
Yeah.
And if we're standing instead of Christ, are we going to be doing some of the things that we do? You know.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And another test was, would it cause someone else to stumble? In other words, we may have liberty to do the thing, but if it's going to be a stumbling block to someone else, then we have to give up that liberty for their sake.
You know, if it's yeah.
something. So if you know it would cause someone to stumble, then give up that right or that freedom. There was one or two more. I forget what they were, but I know it was just a simple little test. You know, or with Jesus, what would Jesus do would be another one of them. You know, what would Jesus do? So.
Amen. Amen. Boy, you're making us think now. I wish you hadn't said anything. No, I'm just kidding you, dude. That's good. That's a good test. That's a good way to do it. We are to have the mind of Christ. And to do that, we do need to make these conscientious efforts to think about what would Jesus do in this situation. If I was to sit down and watch the news, would Jesus sit down with me? Or would He want to talk to me? Or would He want to, you know, what do you think? You know, that's the way we ought to be approaching this thing. It's like He's talking about, would this be to the glory of God or to the glory of my flesh? Ooh, man, that's powerful. That is so powerful. Go ahead.
Another little thing in the booklet was big is casting down imaginations. Because, boy, the imagination, boy, that's a big thing. If you don't really get control of that, you're going to have a whale of a time walking with God. If your imagination controls you, or whether you're going to cast down imaginations and bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ, that will eliminate a lot of imaginings, you know. Our imaginings are supposed to be directed towards faith. Part of our faith is imagining, seeing ourselves as having received by faith, you know, the thing, the promises. We see ourselves, that's imagining, and that's how our imagination is supposed to be used. But if it's not in a good vein, then we need to cast, instead of to cast it down, you know, cast down those imaginations.
Amen. Well, we're about out of time here. Boy, this has been good tonight, I think. I like to talk about and see everybody's participation in these type of subjects. There's a little more we can go on in this if y'all want to keep up with it for Tuesday night, if you'd like. Or if somebody's got a different subject they'd like to go to, that'd be fine too. Just whatever y'all want to do. Hey, Willie, check it out, man. Check this out. Look here. Look. I got that. It sounds good, too, doesn't it? I like it.
Trying to drive me to jealousy?
I'll pray for you, brother. Yeah. No, I saw that on Amazon, and it was $20. Yeah, and it just plugs in the USB port, and it has a tremendous sound to it, doesn't it? Do I sound a lot better? Isn't that right? Don't I sound a lot better? Amen. Look a lot better, too, don't I? I'm just, okay. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for being a check in our spirit when these fleshly things and thoughts that come upon us, Lord. Lord, slow us down. Show us where we need to stop and think about what we say and to cast down vain imaginations, because the devil's always sitting up there throwing things at us. We just need to cast them down. And Father, let us not get in any kind of condemnation after we stumble a little bit. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. And we're not going, with your help, Lord, we're not going to do it again. Lord, we don't want anyone to get in any kind of condemnation. We just want pure thoughts, pure speech, and pure walk. That's what we want, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in us. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for your help in this walk that you've got us on. It's a faith walk. You've given us the faith. And I just praise you for it, Lord. And I thank you for it. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Boy, I didn't want to sneeze on air.
God bless you.
Bless you.
God bless you. Good night. Let me get everybody unmuted here. Okay. Good night, everybody. God bless you.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.